Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Thursday night. We've got a full two-hour program this evening. Welcome in. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line as we take you till 8 o'clock tonight. Cardinals off day. They'll get back at it tomorrow when they welcome in the Arizona Diamondbacks for a three-game series. Cardinals looking for, I don't want to call it a bounce back, because a bounce back infers that they played poorly. They didn't play poorly. They just lost two of three games to Detroit. So they look to get back to their winning ways. Is that a good way to put it? They'll be looking to do that over the next couple days or 3 days when the Diamondbacks come to town. As always, if you want to join the program, you can do so by calling or texting. The number is the same whether you call or text, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching us on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will get that right in, and we'll take a look at that and respond, address to some of those things that do come in over the course of the program tonight. Two sort of big topics today, and then we've got a handful of guests that are going to be on in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to be joined by Bernie Miklas. It's our weekly conversation with him here on Sports Open Line. We generally do it on Wednesday, but we didn't have time to do it yesterday because we had the City SC US Open Cup game. We'll talk more on that in a moment, but we'll get Bernie on a Thursday this week. Later on this hour, we'll talk some MLS soccer with Max Brados. He's going to be on the call this weekend in what is a pivotal game for City SC. No, let's put it this way. It's a pivotal game for City SC coach Olaf Melberg. If they don't win this weekend, and it's going to be tough for them to win, if they don't win this weekend, I'm not convinced that Melberg will coach another game for City SC. Again, we'll get into that coming up later on in the program. In the 7 o'clock hour, it's our weekly conversation with a Battlehawks player. We don't know who that is going to be quite yet. This is, I might be, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but I think this gives a little bit of a insight into how challenging things can be for the, and look, they're not digging ditches, right? Like, I get it. There's a lot of people who do much tougher jobs and much more important jobs than football players. I understand that. But that being said, when you are a professional athlete and you're a football player, their system, and if you're not familiar with the way things work, they're not in St. Louis during the week. The way that league works is everybody, all the teams are based down in Texas, and they're centrally located in one spot, and they go through all their work, and that way they don't have to have practice facilities, training facilities in every single various city. They can have it in one spot, and then you get to game week and you travel to your respective location that you're going to be playing at that weekend. So when they come to St. Louis, they have to travel in for every single game, or if they're going on a road game, they have to travel to that. They're always, unless they're playing the team that's based in Arlington, they have to travel all the time. And the flight that they were on today, it was delayed. So you've got a professional sports franchise who's trying to get ready for a game, and they're delayed getting out. So that's kind of the life of a UFL football player. Again, not the end of the world, but we don't know for sure who we're going to talk to at 7:20, but we hope to talk to a Battlehawk at 7:20 or so. And then we're also going to be joined coming up later on. This is going to be fun. There's a cool event that's going to be taking place here real soon to help celebrate the 150-year anniversary of Major League Baseball in St. Louis. There's going to be an event that's going to be taking place. It's being put on by SABRE, the Society of American Baseball Research. The St. Louis chapter is the Bob Brigg chapter. And they're going to be having a baseball game that's going to be played at Forest Park on May 31st. They're going to play the game by the rules of 1875. It's going to be a matchup of the St. Louis Brown Stockings and the Boston Red Stockings, which is the Belleville Stags, two vintage baseball teams in the area. They're going to have a band, a used baseball book sale, memorabilia displays, all kinds of things. So to talk about this event a little bit, which is really, really cool, Brian Flaspoler is going to be on the program as well. So that is That's an idea of everything that's going to be going on the program today. Again, the Cardinals lose yesterday to the Tigers. Still, they're in a really good spot right now. We talked about it a bit during the Redbird Rush Hour. I think it's notable that from a national standpoint, more and more people are starting to notice the Cardinals as being real. Jeff Passan wrote a pretty long article about the Cardinals today that ran at ESPN.com. There's just been more and more chatter. And I think one of the things that I find interesting, because all along, I mean, from the first weekend of this season, really from spring training, something that I have said over and over and over is, I don't know how many games this team is going to win, but they are going to play an entertaining brand of baseball. They are going to be a fun, entertaining team to watch. And I think that has turned out to be true. Now, they've won more games than a lot of people thought they were going to win at this point in the season. We'll see if that can continue. But they are indeed being a team that's fun and entertaining to watch. And I think for some people outside the market, and look, inside the market, there's a lot of reasons that maybe people aren't going to games and everything. And we don't need to relitigate that. That's not a conversation that I am looking to have here at the moment. But I did find it interesting that there's been, when some of these national voices are talking about this Cardinals team and talking about who they are and how entertaining they are and the brand of baseball they're playing, I do find it notable that there has been some talk about, you know, almost surprise that not more people have hopped on in the support that they may or may not be getting here. Now, that being said, that Detroit series, the attendance was better. Like, it was noticeably better. And if they can win games, it's going to continue to get better and better and better. There is a buzz around this Cardinals team right now that hasn't existed in a couple years, and that's a good thing. And it's on the Cardinals to continue to play the game in a way that keeps those people to continue to be interested in what's going on, and for more and more people to hop on as well. Again, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message there in the video chat if you happen to be watching the program. Bernie Miklas, he is going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's an off night for the Cardinals. That means we have a full two-hour edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Right now, it's time for our weekly conversation with our good friend Bernie Miklas. You see him both from a video perspective, and you read his writing at sportshubstl.com. He's also a part of the Cardinals Territory podcast with Katie Wu, and he's all over KMOX, including the Gas House Gang and a bunch of other stuff, and he joins us right now. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
Matt, it's always look forward to you and I just having a good conversation. I'm doing fine, man.
Yeah, I'm going to read a little bit from your column from today. So I'm going to steal your numbers, but then I want to get into that a little bit because you talked about the Cardinals offense, and you started by mentioning the fact that the Cardinals have scored five or more runs 24 times, which is top five. They've had 10 or more runs six times, ties for fourth highest in the big leagues. Yet at the same time, they've scored one or no runs in 11 games, and they have been held to exactly one run, and nobody's been held to just one run in a game more times than St. Louis. So I stole your numbers there, and I encourage everybody to go read the entire column at sportshubstl.com. But I guess when you're talking about a winning team, Bernie, we get to get a little bit picky and selective on things. Yeah, the offense in whole looks good, but it feels like it's still missing a little bit of consistency.
Yeah, and that's the point. You know, it's not a bad offense at all. In fact, it's a really good offense, and we've seen its potential, but it's just kind of weird. The only reason I wrote about it, because it's just so unusual. Listen, man, I know that some offenses that get hot for a while, sometimes they go cold. I get it. No one's going to like basically average five runs per game. There's going to be extremes every now and then. But for example, this month, you know, the Cardinals in the month of May, they've lost six games, right? And in the five of the six losses, they've scored exactly one run. I mean, it's just strange. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they'll bomb a team out by scoring 11, 10 runs, you know, come back and bomb them out again. And then all of a sudden it's like they get held to one run, like two times, three times a week. And I was just sort of having some fun with it. It's one of those peculiar things, but it's like, I was joking around. It's like, you know, can the Cardinals trade, exchange a couple of two or three of those 10 run games, for just some, like maybe a 5 or 6 run game, you know, a couple of those. Can we, is there a way to swap that out a little bit? But they're, if they can, you know, establish more consistency, which is part of the process, then watch out, because we know they have it in them to be really, really good and in a more consistent way. Sorry.
One of the things I think about a lot, Bernie, is when teams are putting together game plans, does the game plan focus more on your strength, or does it focus more on the other team's weaknesses? And how do you go about that? And with this, I wonder, it really feels like more than any other time that I can remember of my lifetime of paying attention to the St. Louis Cardinals, it feels like with Brant Brown, they are putting together almost a day-by-day game plan. They're looking at who they're going to be facing, and it's every day could be a little bit different. Obviously, the it's time to hit and time to slug thing is the words that have kind of gone along with that. But I do wonder if this team is more apt to have ups and downs when maybe the game plan or the approach or whatever word you want to use might look different more so with this team than others one day to the next.
Well, it's a great observation, and you're absolutely right. They do plan, you know, they put their plan together based on the other side and the starting pitcher in particular. You know, what kind of style is he? What does he like to do on certain counts? Does he fall behind in counts? Should you take pitches? No, I think that's a great point. So every now and then, the other side will get the best of you. But for me talking about, you know, the Cardinals scoring one run or less, and it's like 13 times this year, it's like 26% of their games, which is crazy. We should also talk about, and it's something that I failed to mention in the column, so shame on me. That was not an intentional oversight. What about the long list of really good starting pitchers the Cardinals have beat up on this year?
And they could have beat Skubal very easily in that second game of the Detroit series. It would have just added another name to an all-star list of pitchers that you beat this year.
Right, you know, they have wins against Wheeler, 2 against Nola. They beat Skeens twice, and his ERA against him was 5.40. I mean, I go right on down the lines. You know, Mackenzie Gore, they beat him. They beat who else? I mean, I actually ran a list earlier this week. It's a long list of notable starters that they've won games against, and a lot of them, they really roughed those guys up. So it's a good offense. I think the consistency can get better. One of the minor problems in May, because you're never going to have all of your hitters hot at the same time, but some guys have cooled down, like Lars Nootbaar has cooled down. Arenado, he had a great home run the other night, but he has struggled this month. If you look at who else, Pedro Pajes has really calmed down as far as like his numbers have been dropping. And, you know, it's just like that. They right now they have a few guys that aren't doing much. And, you know, even though Walker's been doing better a little bit, you know, I looked at this and I had to chuckle, not to laugh at these guys, but the irony, I guess. Like in the month of May, Gorman and Walker have an identical 154 batting average. So, you know, it's like that kind of sums it up in a way, right?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative of the last couple of weeks is, think where this team has already exceeded expectations, thinks where they would be if they were getting anything from Gorman or Walker. I think it's more pronounced with Walker because Walker's in there every day. Gorman, you'd have to take somebody else out and probably somebody else who's producing, like you're getting production right now from Burleson. So, but to that point, and you Ali talked the other day, Bernie, about how, you know, they keep tweaking things with Walker and they felt like the last tweak might be something, but it almost feels like they're working on something, they're using it. It works, it doesn't work, they're reacting to it, and then it's back to the lab to work on something else. I'm simplifying and dumbing down what they're doing, but it seems like this is really a process right now with Walker.
It is, and the good news is they've gotten more out of some guys, I think, than we all expected, and Victor Scott being one of them for sure. Brendan Donovan's having a career year. Until his recent downturn, Nootbaar was really doing a brilliant job at the top of the lineup. Mason Winn, after a slow start, you know, moving him to two hole, he's really hit well. My gosh, Ivan Herrera is scary, scary good. So they have some young guys that are actually performing quite well. And I would expect those ranks to continue. I just think there's too much talent with Walker and Gorman for this to go on, a long time. The only thing you wonder is that, and we asked Ali Marmol this on Gas House Gang a few weeks ago, you know, the only concern he has about either one of these guys is that this stuff really gets to them. And, you know, they in effect just lose their confidence and they feel overwhelmed. But he didn't think they're at that level now. And the interesting to me about Nolan Gorman, the process with him is taking a long time, but it might have long range benefits because his strikeout rate, I know he hasn't hit much, is actually hitting home runs and all that. I'm not trying to say he's having a good year, but the things he needs to improve on to be a good hitter, he's really doing. Like, his strikeout rate is down. His walk rate is way up. His chase rate is down considerably. And he doesn't swing and miss as often either. His contact rate is up. Now, those are the things we've all said for, you know, since he came up. It's like, boy, if he can ever do a better job with his plate discipline and not swinging at stuff off the plate and taking his walks, I mean, that would unlock it. And I actually think that's true. It just hasn't happened yet. So I'm encouraged by him. I don't know what to make of Walker, and I'm not down on Walker, but I'm just saying I don't know what the easy answer is there. We all know that, you know, the low and away sliders. Yeah. I think he's laying off those a little better than he was before.
A little, but it's not great. There's still some times where he goes fishing for something. I also think Walker has a better path to figuring things out because Gorman can do all this work during the day, but then he can't really see the results of it because he's not playing. You can look good in BP, but that's the thing Walker has. When he works on stuff, he can then go try to use it in games and they can see if it's doing anything or not. With Gorman, you might have to wait 4 days before he gets an opportunity to have 3 or 4 plate appearances.
You know, and the one thing, and a lot of people in the media, including I think some of us, have talked about with Walker, he's so big and he's so tall, and sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes the swing just doesn't get tight enough because a guy's got long arms, long legs. There's just a lot of moving parts. And I want to actually do one of my research projects on that. I know a lot of people mentioned, you know, Aaron Judge, and I think mostly they're talking about maybe him in the minors. And I know his first time up with the Yankees was pretty bad, but, you know, starting in his second year, he took off, but he was a little older than Walker was in terms of the level of experience at a particular time.
I think it's the same thing with, you know, when you deal with pitchers. If you got a 6'7" pitcher, it's a whole lot tougher to repeat a pitch than if you got a dude who's, you know, 6'1". Like, it's tougher.
It is. But once those guys just get that swing, you know, and it becomes their swing and they're comfortable with every part of it, watch out. I really do believe it can be tough sometimes because you want to see results. But I really do believe it's important to stick with these guys for a while because this isn't all about today or tomorrow. And listen, the Cardinals are doing a really good job of winning games because of their defense and pitching, even if the offense is down a little bit. They just can't be premature with these two guys. There's just way too much on the line.
Bernie, I always enjoy our conversations. Can you tell us a little bit about our friends over at Saliga Heating and Cooling?
I will. My pleasure. You know, the Miklas family has relied on Saliga Heating and Cooling, which is a Daikin Comfort dealer. We've been calling on them for about 17 years, and so we're in a good position to tell you how much we appreciate them. And why do we appreciate them? Saliga Heating and Cooling is a family-owned business since 1927, same family. Dan Saliga is a fourth generation owner operator, have been serving generations of St. Louis. And so we're part of that legacy because they've been taking care of us. And what I could absolutely vouch for is that they've always looked for low cost solutions to save us money. They're not trying to get us to buy something or not trying to sell us something. It's the exact opposite. And their integrity is just tremendous. And we never have to worry when Saliga's coming to the home to work on something. It's like, what are they going to tell us? That kind of thing. We trust them 100%. And that's, you know, that's not really easy to find. So the honesty, the knowledge, the professionalism, the prompt service, it's all there. And I want to recommend the Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that will save you money by extending the lifetime of your current equipment. You also get priority scheduling, having the comfort, the peace of knowing your home safe and ready for all four seasons. So if you want to find out more about anything with Saliga Heating and Cooling .com, you go there, SaligaHeatingCooling.com, and this Daikin Comfort Dealer will take care of you. It's Saliga Heating and Cooling.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Great to have you with us. We've got you for another about hour and 20 minutes, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Last night, man, it was a tough night for City SC. It looked like they had another victory, and instead they once again give up late goals, and they end up losing and getting knocked out of the U.S. Open Cup when they lose their second straight to Minnesota United FC, losing yesterday 3-2. Back to MLS play this weekend. They're going to match up against Colorado, and we're very happy to welcome on from MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. He is Max Bretos. You follow him on Twitter at Max Bretos, B-R-E-T-O-S, Sports. Max, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Matt, doing great. Awesome to join you. I wish it was in the midst of a St. Louis winning spree, but maybe they'll get there.
Maybe. What are you still like? You don't have to sugarcoat here. There's not a lot of positive things to say about this team right now. What are you seeing from this City team?
Well, I think, you know, I got to call their game against Sporting, a week and a half ago, and it's very odd. It's strange to put your finger on this, but even at the Open Cup game, which, you know, was watching last night, you see an effort being put. You're not seeing a team that is quitting. You're seeing a team that came up against a team they just played, getting some goals, coming from behind, but just to relinquish it. It's a bad habit, obviously, if you want to be successful. Same with the Sporting Kansas City game, where you're up 2 goals and go, here we go, we're going to win, and it gets away from you. This is not a case of a team just checking out, losing. I mean, it was one situation where they're not scoring goals, and this was a team that was scoring goals. You're like, what is going on? Fundamentally and as a group, I think you're seeing the effort, but this is a results-driven business, and you've got to get it. And at some point, if they keep absorbing losses, I think that collective effort is going to slide, or that faith in the coach. But I think it's still hanging on there. And this Open Cup result, because it's for a trophy and St. Louis is a club in its infancy, if they can reach out and make a quarterfinal, semifinal, or win that, it changes all the texture of this team. But it didn't happen, and now it keeps piling on. So, I mean, confidence is low, morale is low. They just need something. And if they don't get it, I think soon, because, look, MLS can be a forgiving league. You get a couple wins, mm-hmm. You're on the cusp of getting back in the playoffs. But if you don't get that, then things could get sideways sooner than later.
I can tell you in St. Louis, especially when it comes to social media, people have been on Olaf Melberg watch now for a good week and a half, 2 weeks. There were a lot of people that thought he was going to be out after this Kansas City result. Some people thought he'd be out after the first Minnesota result. Some people thought this one. You know, when you've got those games back to back to back to back and you know, playing the midweeks, it's tough to make changes. But now all of a sudden they've got this matchup against Colorado. I don't want to say the guy's playing for, you know, coaching for his job, but in many ways it feels like he might be.
You hear rumblings, and I don't know how close they are, and I think, you know, we had a chance to speak to Olaf Melberg earlier today about the team, and he's obviously accentuating the positive, and he's keeping his head above water, but how many losses can you take? And I think there's a misconception about MLS, because it is a forgiving league, that maybe you can see things out, but we've seen coaches lose their jobs already this season. We saw, 11 coaching vacancies. So, you know, teams, when they see or when they sense, and it's not so much the results, you know, the guys within the walls there at St. Louis City are seeing if the players are disengaged or if there is issues. You know, the players will talk to everyone within that club. They'll notice it, and then it could come sooner or it could come very quickly. Or I know they want this to work out, because this was an ambitious move with Olaf Melberg. It's come a long way to get here, but I imagine if it doesn't go well, then the rumblings will go. And I think the St. Louis fan base have been very patient. They're still showing up for games, but when it affects the bottom line, then you can certainly see a change in the midst. And they're playing a Colorado team that's pretty good. I mean, they have some injury issues. They're playing at altitude, which is going to be a new experience for Olaf and obviously some of these players. That's a tough place to go. And again, just this stretch. I mean, I think that Kansas City game is really where where they the switch has to be flicked, because you have the two-goal lead, you get the points there, okay, you can buy some time. But then you go at Minnesota, at Colorado. Normally you would say, okay, if we can get a point or two out of this stretch or we can advance, we're good. But these are very difficult places. Minnesota's second in the West. Minnesota wants to win the Open Cup. And now Colorado, who's a playoff team and certainly going to be pushing towards that again in 2025 with some talent and very good at home. So it's a very difficult spot for them. It's a dilemma, but if the results don't come, but what can we tell you? They St. Louis will have to adjust at some point.
And to be totally fair, Olof hasn't been given the best hand because this team has dealt with injuries, and as guys have come back from injury, maybe the fitness hasn't been there where you're making some substitutions that you wouldn't generally make. You look at the game yesterday, a lot of people look to those late substitutions that were made as maybe being part of the reason that Minnesota was able to score a couple late goals. That goes along with you try to put your best team on the field at the beginning, they may not be the best at the end, and that's just all part of kind of the story of this year's edition of City SC.
Yeah, the injuries have been an issue, and I know he's been trying some different things with the moving parts in the attack, whether they play with a true number nine with Klaus or Toyshirt would get up in that spot, anything to stimulate. I think goals. If you can get goals, you can see a silver lining here, because that's been their issue. They haven't been able to score. So the Open Cup, at the very least, gives you that fruit that they can do it. But they're getting healthy. I mean, obviously, the Edward Leuven situation, we don't know, but that guy changes this club in a big way. The return of Roman Berkey had a little bit of a pop, but you want to see, you know, you don't want to see games where you give up two goals to Sporting Kansas City or three goals on two occasions to Minnesota. And that's not on Roman Berkey, but defensively, you would like to have a tighter line there. But, you know, Durkin back, Berkey back, Pompeo's returned. The injury thing was certainly a legitimate excuse earlier in the season. And, you know, integrating these players back takes some time, but I don't think they'll be able to lean into that. Hopefully a full healthy load here of these players will show that the St. Louis team can get results. If they can get something in Colorado, even if it's a tie, that would, I think, put an exclamation point, well, not an exclamation point, but a full stop on a two-game stretch where you certainly see St. Louis moving in the right direction. But if they get shellacked again like what they did to Minnesota, then it's going to be very uncomfortable within the four walls there at St. Louis.
What are those keys, though? What can City do, or what can they maybe do consistently throughout the entire matchup to go and find a way to have success against Colorado?
Well, you know, they've always been a good pressing team, and I think Colorado is going to be a team that presses as well. Being patient, I think being good on set pieces, because they've been getting those, and it was the Pompeo goal in Kansas City wasn't off a set piece, but essentially it was a second ball off a set piece. I think stockpiling set piece opportunities, playing that game in the Colorado end, and doing good things when the ball is stopped, because, you know, they have those threats. I think they're a very good aerial team when they can certainly bring up defenders as well. I think you got to lean into that and do not turn the ball over, which is something that it's impossible to avoid. But, I mean, I think there's been some spots there in very critical areas where they turn the ball over. You've just got to be more leery about that. And, look, if you have to, you just knock the ball upfield and let Colorado build up. Just don't turn the ball over in your own half, which I've seen it in really inopportune times. And mistakes, obviously, are leading them down that path. But St. Louis has to be watertight, play smart, combine well, and make the ball stop when they're in the attacking third.
Max Brados is going to be on the call this weekend. Max, what just in terms of Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, tell folks what they are missing out on if they have not yet subscribed.
Oh, you have complete access to all the games. You have 15 games usually on a weekend. It's all there at your fingertips. You can watch your St. Louis game. You can watch MLS 360 and get all the games. I mean, we just had the rivalry week, and there was incredible moments, including the St. Louis Sporting Kansas City game. MLS is, you know, it's a league in diapers, as I say, but, you know, I've been covering it for a long time. And when you see the steps that they have made with the fan experience, the stadiums, the quality of player, these incredible goals, these incredible matchups, it's just fun. It's a lot of fun to tune in on the weekend. They're doing a really good job, high quality visuals. And if you live in St. Louis, or if you don't want to support St. Louis, pick a team. They're your local side, and just build off of that, because it's a wonderful experience whether you're watching it on Apple TV or if you have the good fortune to go to Energizer Park or one of the many other venues to experience MLS. You know, it's there was a time where I didn't think this league was going to be able to reach anything like this, and now it is, and it's going to keep getting better. And competitively, I've seen a big difference. So it's a good time. 30 teams, too.
Yeah. There's a bunch. Max, appreciate the time,
as
always.
It's a lot.
Yeah, there is. Thank you for the time, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the line.
Sounds good, Matt. Good luck to St. Louis City this weekend.
All right, very good. That's Max Brados joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. Still have a lot coming up. We expect to be joined by a Battlehawks player at about 7:20. There's a cool baseball event being put on by Sabre coming up very soon here in St. Louis as well. We'll tell you all about that. So a lot coming up. Still get a chance to take your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, all of it. That's on the way. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX, the Graybar Sports Open Line, as we continue on here on the program. If you want to chime in, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can always just leave a chat and we'll take a look at that. In fact, just a little while ago, Bus sends in a message, said, is there any legitimate reason why Brendan Donovan does not represent the United States in the next WBC? I personally have not come up with any. I feel like he's got a pretty good shot of being there in that. I haven't heard him speak specifically on if he wants to do it, but I would think he does because his love of country is something that he has spoken on before. I generally try to read everything. I know John Denton from MLB.com wrote about a little bit about Donovan this past week. I saw a tweet about it. I didn't get the chance. I still need to go back and read it. So maybe he said in that whether or not he'd be interested. I guess he'd be interested. Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see what the roster looks like. We'll see who says. It seems like a lot of guys are saying yes right now. That's the main thing here, that, you know, the first guy in was Aaron Judge. Didn't Paul Skeens say that he was good to do it? Kyle Sixt is here. Am I missing anybody? I know Judge and Skeens. Has anybody else been announced on the WBC roster?
I'll check it out. I know okay. Those are the big two.
Yeah, so those are the two that are so is there a chance he's on it? Yes. This is going to sound terrible. I'm going to talk out both sides of my mouth for a second because I'm very good at that. I kid. I love the WBC. Like, I love the WBC. I love watching the games. I love how much it, how the bigness of the moments, if that makes sense. At the same time, I think it does impact Major League teams in terms of getting ready. There's a reason teams ramp up the way that they ramp up. And when you have to change the schedule of the ramp up, I think it can have an impact. And I'm fine with a guy or two, but I mean, 3 years ago, what was it, like 13 or 16 guys in the Cardinals organization were on WBC rosters. And the Cardinals, I've talked about this a lot. It bugged me. It bugged me. I was bugged in the moment, and I continue to be bugged by it. As it was happening, the narrative was, oh, this is great. Our guys are going out and they're playing games that matter, and this is just going to help them be even more ready for the season. And then the Cardinals had a terrible season, and they shifted the narrative to, well, spring training, you know, so many guys were at the WBC. Like, it's one or the other. Which one is it? And I love the idea of the WBC. I think from a Cardinal standpoint, if you've got a few less guys participating in it, it's not the worst thing in the world. We'll see what happens with Wilson Contreras. Contreras did not participate his last time around because he had just joined the Cardinals and he was learning pitchers and everything. Maybe it's a little bit different. Kyle, did you get anybody? Has anybody else been named, or is it just those two?
Those are the big two.
Okay, so Mark DeRosa is still working on it, and we'll see what he ends up doing. Man, that's a tough job for Mark DeRosa because he's got to, like, deal with the politics of all the major league organizations and, you know, training staffs and coaching staffs and managers and general managers and president of baseball operations. they're going to be in the ear. They are in the ear of DeRosa. Like they are trying to have as much control as possible on, especially from a pitching standpoint, how many pitches a guy's throwing, how you're going to use them, all that sort of stuff. That's just because of the politics that go along with it. That's a tough gig. And people always say, well, should you move it? Can you put the WBC somewhere else? I don't think you can. I think this is the least terrible spot for it. It's terrible, but it's the least terrible. Nobody's going to play in it at the end of the year. It would be malpractice to do it in the middle of the offseason where you're asking guys to come down off the season, ramp back up for the WBC, come back down again, and then ramp up again. You're not going to stop the Major League Baseball season in the middle of the year. You're not going to play 15 less games in the regular season to accommodate a stop. Like, there's just, it's the least terrible, and it's not changing as long as and again, I love the WBC as a fan watching baseball. I love it. I think it's good for baseball. I think its impact on being good for baseball outweighs all the other stuff. So I'll deal with the other stuff, but it would be naive not to at least acknowledge the other stuff that is going on as a result of the WBC, if that makes sense. All right, coming up in hour number two, we hope to talk with a Battlehawks player maybe in about 15 or 20 minutes. We're going to talk about a cool event that is going to commemorate 150 years of professional baseball in St. Louis. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. We are rolling on. It is a Thursday night full 2-hour edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.